Hebrews chapter 11 tonight, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let's stop reading there tonight. I'll be commenting some more about this chapter in my message, but I want to take my text out of verse 1 tonight, where it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And we want to preach on parts of faith. Lord be my helper here in just a minute. But ask God to help me as we pray. Father, I love you and thank you again for the good day that you've given me. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for health and strength to be in your house tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, that you watched over us and you protected us and you supplied our needs. And Lord, you've been so good to all of us. Lord, we could all stand and testify tonight to your goodness and Lord, your manifold blessings. And Father, we do thank you for traveling mercy and grace on the highways for those that are back home. And Lord, we do pray for those that are traveling, Lord, that you'd watch over them and bring them back safely. Touch those that are out tonight, Father, through sickness or through providential hindrance or whatever the case may be. Lord, you know their heart's need. You know their what they stand in need of spiritually this evening. And Lord, we just pray that you'd meet their need. Bless your people that are faithful to be here tonight. Lord, I do pray, Father, that you'd help them to receive something from your word that might be an encouragement to them tonight or, Lord, in days to come. Lord, we just ask you, Father, to do a work in all of our hearts. Please, Father, cleanse me of all sin and fill me with thy spirit, Lord, that I might be an instrument that you might be able to use and speak through tonight. And, Lord, we'll thank you and praise you now for all that you do. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
In Hebrews 11 and verse 1, Paul said, I believe Paul to be the author. I'm not going to argue with nobody about it, but I believe he's the author of Hebrews. And in Hebrews 11, 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And by way of introduction tonight, I'll just give some definitions of these words as I've looked the definition up and thought about it, meditated upon it, and tried to put down the best that I could find on it. Amen. And of course, we know that faith is believing. You know, when I was a young Christian, I heard preachers say, I used to listen to a lot of preachers on the radio and go to meetings and my own pastor and different ones preaching the Word of God. And some of them would say, just step out and trust God, you know, and just hold on and do that. You know, they'd say, make statements like that, and I'd wonder what in the world they're talking about, step out and hold on and, you know, and all these things. And I've heard so many different definitions of faith, you know, I got confused what faith really was, you know, in my own mind and heart. So I started praying about it and reading about it and studying about it and asking questions about it. And the Lord finally gave me some definite answers about it. Amen. And I'll just give you a definition of the term faith. And, of course, this is taken from Webster's 1828 dictionary, which is a good dictionary to use. And he says that faith is the assent of the mind, or understanding to the truth of what God has revealed. That's pretty simply. It means evangelistically, or justifying, or saving faith is the assent of the mind to the truth of divine revelation on the authority of God's testimony, accompanied with a cordial assent of the will or approbation of the heart, an entire confidence or trust in God's character and declarations and in the character and doctrines of Christ, with an unreserved surrender of the will to His guidance and dependence on His merits for salvation. In other words, that firm belief of God's testimony and of the truth of the gospel, which influences the will and leads to an entire reliance on Christ for salvation. That's saving faith. That's a real good definition, I thought, by Brother Webster, amen, on faith. But faith is believing that what God says is the truth. There's no way that God can lie, and everything that He says is fact, you know. And you trust that, you trust His testimony explicitly. You don't doubt what God said. You believe exactly what God said.
Right.
And when God requires something for salvation, you believe it and you act upon it. And that's how you get saved. Amen. And so faith here is, of course, persuasion. As well, you know, you're persuaded in your own mind and in your own heart that what God said is true. It is that credence, moral conviction of religious truth, and according to Strong's Concordance, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. Forsaken all, I trust Him. And of course, that's what you must do in order to be saved, trusting in Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says here, faith is the substance, and that term substance means confidence, and it means firm trust, assurance. It is the assurance is the word that I'm looking for. It's a thing that's put under, substructure, foundation. You know, it's what assures us. Faith is what assures us, and it's the foundation of our Christian profession. Amen. Faith is what we must live by. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Amen. And of course, tonight, faith is the substance. It's the foundation. It's the conviction. It is the persuasion, you see, of the child of God. It's the confidence that we have, the firm trust that we have in the things of God. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for. We have a young lady in the service tonight named Hope. Amen. I like that name. Amen. And I like Hope. Why? Because in Spanish, what is it? Esperanza? Is that right, Sister Maria? Do you know? You don't know? She don't know. Is somebody know that? I think Esperanza means hope. And I like the word, the name Esperanza. I like the name Hope. And why? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. The term hope means to expect. It means to trust, to hope for, according to Strong's Concordance. In heaven, faith gives them reality in the view of the mind. The Christian hopes to be admitted into heaven, to be raised up in the last day from the slumbers of the tomb, to be made perfectly free from sin, to be everlastingly happy. Under the influence of faith, he allows these things to control his mind as if they were a most affecting reality. And so hope is simply the thing that we expect because we believe everything that God says. Faith is the substance, okay? It is the assurance, it is the foundation of the things that we hope for. Now, I'm saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, okay? Now, I haven't got to heaven yet, but my hope is heaven.
Right.
I haven't seen Jesus coming in the rapture yet. I believe He's coming. I have faith that He's coming. And the assurance of that and the foundation of that is the Word of God. And my hope is Him coming and taking me out of this world, you see. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, I'm not hoping for something that has no substance, that has no reality to it. I'm hoping for something that I know is going to be fact. Again, that term hope means trust. It means that we have firmly been assured in our own hearts and minds that it shall come to pass. The things that we hope for is the wonderful things that God has promised us that's going to happen in the future. Okay? So faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, the evidence means proof. It means conviction of the mind of things not seen as yet. I am convicted. I have the evidence that it's going to happen because I believe explicitly in the Word of God, and the Word of God is my substance, and I have hope that the Lord is going to bring to pass everything that He said that He would.
Amen.
It's the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I hope I didn't confuse nobody. It's simple. It's pretty simple. But as we read that little verse, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. I want to preach tonight on the parts of faith. First of all, the impartation of faith. The Bible teaches that some people have no faith. Okay, some people don't believe God. They don't believe the Bible. They don't believe the truths of the Word of God. They don't have no faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Bible says. And so, but there are some people don't have no faith. There are some people have little faith. Oh, you have little faith, he told his disciples when they're out on the Sea of Galilee, and the storm come up on the lake, and they woke the Lord and said, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? And he said, where is your faith? They had a little. They didn't have much faith. They didn't have no faith, but they had a little faith. Amen. But the Lord told those disciples, said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this mountain, be thou plucked up and planted in the sea, and it would obey you.
Right.
And but there are some that have no faith, some that have little faith, some that have weak faith. According to the Scriptures, there are some that have great faith. And I believe that we ought to have faith. Amen. And we ought to ask God to increase our faith. And we can increase our faith. We can help increase our faith by reading and studying the Bible and trusting God, believing in what God said. Amen. And when we see God work, our faith will be increased.
That's right.
And so the impartation of faith. Romans 12:3, Paul said, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now I believe that God can give faith. I believe that God entrusts faith with us.
Right.
Okay? I didn't have faith to believe in Jesus Christ until God started opening my understanding.
Right.
Until the Word of God was preached and the Spirit of God began to work and enlighten me and illuminated my mind and my heart to the truthfulness of the Word of God, I didn't have no faith to trust in Christ.
Right.
And so God had to impart some faith in my heart to believe upon His Son. Acts 20:21 says, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I believe that salvation is a gift of God, but I believe that faith is a gift of God as well.
Right.
For those that will listen and those that will respond to the Word of God, respond to God's Holy Spirit, I believe God will give them faith. Now, what kind of faith do we have tonight? The Bible says when the Lord comes back to the earth, will He find faith upon the earth? I don't believe there's going to be a lot of faith.
Right.
I don't believe there's going to be strong faith. I'm talking about overall. There's going to be a remnant of God's people that still have faith in Him. There's going to be a remnant of God's people that's still serving Him and living for Him and doing what He wants them to do and hoping for His coming, expecting His coming on the authority of His testimony, His Word. Amen. We'll be looking for Him to come. But when He comes, will He find faith on the earth? That's what the Lord asked the question about. Will He find faith? I want to be believing in Him and trusting in Him. Now, we see here the impartation of faith. And then I want to notice the application of faith. Of course, there's application in salvation. In Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall the preacher except to be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's some that when they hear will not believe. There's some that when they hear will not obey. And so their faith has not increased, and they will not and cannot believe unto salvation.
Right.
If a person's unwilling to obey the gospel, he can't get saved. Okay? If he's unwilling to respond to the truth of the Word of God and say, that's right, I'm a guilty sinner, I'm going to hell, I've got to repent, I've got to trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm going to burn forever, amen, and I need to have God to have mercy upon me. Unless a person's willing to respond to the gospel, they won't be saved, can't get
right.
saved. They've got to believe the gospel.
That's right.
And they've got to obey the gospel. And so the application of faith is responding, is obeying the gospel and believing upon Jesus Christ unto salvation. Romans 14:23, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so, of course, Paul was talking about those that eat meat and things like that, things sacrificed in the idol's temple, or somebody says this is all right, or somebody says it's all right to eat this or drink this, and then their conscience says that it ain't all right, you know, and they can't eat it by faith, or they can't drink it by faith, or they can't do it by faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Right.
That's just like if one of my brothers in Christ said, it's all right to drink a little wine with your meal, a little fermented wine, and I drank a little fermented wine, my heart condemns me, and my conscience said, that's not right, you shouldn't be doing that, amen, and I can't drink it by faith, but I'm just drinking it because my brother's drinking it, amen, it becomes a sin to me.
Right.
It becomes a sin. I can't drink it by faith. Why? Because I believe it's wrong.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? And so whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's impossible to please God without faith. And by grace are you saved through faith, and not know yourselves to give to God. Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house. So the application of faith is believe, to trust, to obey, you see, what God said to do. Somebody says, well, I believe in Jesus Christ, but have they responded to Jesus Christ? It's one thing to believe about Him. It's another thing to respond to Him,
right.
To obey Him, and submit yourself to Him. Give your heart, your life to Him. It's two separate things. In John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So believing on His name and receiving Him is what we're talking about, not just believing. Okay, not just believing about Him. Not just believing facts about Him, but receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. And Psalms 115:10, O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And when you get saved, the Bible tells us that we ought to trust in the Lord.
Right.
Now what does that mean? Believe Him. Have faith in Him. He's given us many exceeding great and precious promises in the Bible, and we must trust Him without reservation. Trust Him. Why? Because He'll never lie to us. Trust Him because He works all things for our good and His glory. Amen. Trust Him. He's too wise to make a mistake.
Right.
He never makes a mistake.
Right.
The Lord Jesus never makes a mistake. You say, He never makes a mistake? No. God has never made a mistake.
Right. Right.
Now, I've made a bunch of them. And you've made a bunch of them, but God has never, at one time, ever, and never will, make a mistake.
Amen.
So He knows what's best all times. And He always does right. The Lord knows what He's doing.
Right.
Amen. And I trust Him. I trust Him with my eternal soul. I trust Him with my life. I trust Him with my family. I trust Him with everything that I have. Amen. I trust the Lord. That's the application of faith. I must trust Him in order to please Him and walk with Him. The Bible says in Psalms 118:8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes.
Right.
You don't trust in your job. You don't trust in the president or the federal government or anybody else. You trust in the Lord.
Amen.
We're all apt to let each other down, but the Lord will never let you down.
Amen.
He's always trustworthy.
Right.
He'll always do what He promised. The Bible said in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not part of it, but all of it. So the application of faith is to trust the Lord. You trusted Him to save your soul, He saved your soul.
Right.
Amen. Can you not trust Him to supply your needs? Can you not trust Him to guide your pathway and make decisions for you? You say, well, I'll make my own decision. Yeah, you'll fall in the ditch too.
Right.
You wish you'd let the Lord make the decisions in your life.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Let God make the decisions in your life. Where are you going to live? Where are you going to work? Where are you going to church? Are you going to date? Are you going to marry? What are you going to do in life?
Amen.
Well, you don't know all the answers, but He does.
Amen. Right.
You say, well, I think I know some answers too. No, you don't.
That's right.
You don't know the overall picture. You don't know the way that the Lord wants you to go unless you ask Him
right.
to direct your path. You go your own way, you're going to get in trouble. And so the application of faith, the manifestation of faith, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. The manifestation of faith. I believe that when a person gets saved, they'll be a person of faith. You can't get saved without faith.
Right.
You learn that faith, trust in Jesus Christ with all your heart, changed your life. That's what I don't understand about some folks. You know, you say, I've had people say, somebody might get saved and they don't live for God. I can't comprehend that.
Right.
I'm not talking about somebody that's been saved a long time. I'm talking about somebody just got born again. Somebody just got, passed from death unto life. Somebody just was taken out of darkness and put in the light. I'm talking about somebody that God had changed their heart and wrote His laws and His commands in their heart. Amen.
Right.
Put His Holy Spirit within them. I don't understand somebody saying now they wouldn't be a different person. That just don't make good sense. That's not common sense at all. It's just not reality. When somebody gets saved, they have fully trusted in Jesus Christ with their eternal soul. They give their heart and their life, their soul to Jesus Christ.
Right.
And He has changed them. And they become a person of faith. They trust in Him. They love Him. You show me a person that really got born again, I'll show you a person that loves Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How could Jesus Christ save your soul and you not love Him?
Amen.
And not want to please Him and not want to listen to Him and follow Him and be His disciple. I don't understand that. I can't comprehend somebody saying that you could not do that.
Right.
It just don't make sense. That's like saying my wife, when we got married, she don't have to live with me, and she don't have to listen to me, and she don't have to kiss me, and she don't have to cook no meals for me, and she don't have to do nothing for me. She's living South Carolina, and I'm living in Arizona, and I can't tell her nothing. That wouldn't make no sense, would it? Are you listening? What might go business? You think I'd marry a woman that wouldn't live with me? And wouldn't talk with me? And wouldn't walk with me? And wouldn't be my companion? Wouldn't love me? And care about me? You think I'd marry somebody like that and live with somebody like that? Or try to? You know what I'm saying? Why, somebody gets born again into the family of God, you know, we're spouse to Jesus Christ.
Right, amen.
There's a wedding going to take place in heaven, amen.
Right.
And he ought to be the love of our life. If we really got born again, I'm convinced that he is the love of our life.
Right.
He is the supreme love of our life. We should love him more than anybody. And if we don't love him, I don't know, if I didn't love the Lord, I'd doubt my salvation. I can't say that I've always been perfect for him, but I've always loved him since the day he saved my soul.
Amen.
And the manifestation, I believe in him. I believe what he says. I may not always act upon it, but I believe what he says.
Amen.
You say, preacher, you've never doubted anything? Yes, I have. But I don't doubt his word. Amen. I've doubted myself. I've doubted, you know, you listen to the devil sometimes, you're liable to doubt everything.
Right.
That's why you shouldn't listen to the devil.
Amen.
Because he lies.
Right.
The manifestation of faith. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I believe that too.
Amen.
I believe what the Lord said, don't you?
Yes, sir. Amen.
I believe you're a new creature in Christ. You got saved.
Amen. Right.
I believe that old things passed away and all things become new. I believe what the Lord said. I believe what the Lord said more than I believe what man said.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You can't even access the Lord's presence without faith. So
right.
You can't get in his presence and fellowship with him and pray to him if you don't exercise faith. And not only so, but we go in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I believe everybody saved loves too.
Yes.
Not only do they believe, they have faith, but they love. Everybody saved loves. Loves what? Loves God. Loves the brethren. Loves people. I believe people saved love. I don't believe that people that are saved hate.
Right.
They can't keep hatred in their heart and be right with the Lord.
Right.
God will deal with them. He'll eat them. I tell you, they can't hold grudges and hatred in their heart.
Right.
You show me a person can hold grudge and hatred in their heart, and I'm going to show you a very miserable saved person or a lost person.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
I cannot hold grudges. I cannot have bitterness in my heart,
right,
and have the joy of the Lord in my soul.
Amen.
And walk with the Lord and be right.
Amen.
And be able to pray. Amen. I just can't do it. I don't hate nobody.
Amen.
Don't hate one person on the face of the earth. I hate the devil.
Amen.
Amen.
With a perfect hatred. Amen. But I don't hate people. In fact, even when my enemies get hurt, I don't enjoy it.
Right.
When I see God have to deal with somebody, I don't enjoy it. I don't gloat in it. I don't rejoice in it.
Right.
I mean, I see some old center broke down on the side of the road. It bothers me that they're broke down. I hate to break down on the side of the road. I see somebody have a hard time, house burned down, whatever. It touches my heart. I don't rejoice in that, or I'm not glad at that. I remember we'd been out here 2 or 3 years. Mary was driving an old Buick I had, and was down there on Park and around Park, down there around South Lawn Cemetery somewhere. And a car broke down. 4-lane highway out there on Park. She's got 3 youngins in the car with her. Broke down on the side of the road. She's out of the car trying to push the car out of the road, and people driving by and blowing their horn and cussing her out, calling her all kinds of names. Now that's, to me, that, you know, a Christian could never do something like that.
Right.
And be right with God.
Right.
The ungodly does things like that. Sinners do things like that. And I can't hate people. I can't hold grudges against people. I can't have bitterness against people and be right with God. The manifestation of faith is not only trusting in Him, a new creature in Christ, believing in Him, but rejoicing in Him. And of course, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, because we've exercised faith in Him. In Luke 5:17 says, it came to pass on a certain day as He was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed of man, which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in, and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. I want you to notice that Jesus saw their faith. Not the man that's laying on the cot, but the 4 men that picked him up and brought him to Jesus and couldn't get in and were not deterred from staying at the house, but climbed up on the house and pulled him up on the house and broke the tiling off the roof and let him down in the midst where Jesus was, because they knew if they could get the palsy man in the presence of Jesus, he'd be healed.
Right.
They believed that much in the Lord. They knew that the Lord could meet the need of that man. Not only his physical need, but spiritual need. The Lord met physical need and spiritual need of that palsy man. He forgave him his sins. Amen. And he healed him physically. He picked his bed up and went home with him. And them 4 didn't have to carry him back to the house. What are you saying? The manifestation of faith. Let's turn to James chapter 2 and verse 14. I'm going to have to hurry. But James chapter 2 and verse 14, we'll probably teaching along these lines in Sunday school this Sunday, Lord willing. But in James chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says, What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Now, I'll say this. Some people would say there's a contradiction between Paul and James. There's no contradiction.
Right.
Okay. Paul is saying we're saved without works. Was not Abraham justified when he offered up Isaac? You know, was not Abraham, I have to go back in. Anyway, Romans chapter 4. Let me read it. I done messed myself up. Amen. In Romans chapter 4. Let me read just a couple of verses what Paul said here. What shall we then say Abraham our father pertaining to flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath wherefore to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And so Paul is teaching that a man is justified unto salvation by faith in Christ alone,
right,
not by works. Okay. But what James is teaching here is if you are a believer, if you have been born again into the family of God, there's going to be some evidence of that faith in your life. And so he says here in James chapter 2 and verse 14, What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? He's asking a question. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say that thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac? What did Paul say? Abraham believed God, but that belief in God caused Abraham to do something.
Right.
Amen. He put some legs on his faith.
Right.
And that's what James is talking about. If a man believes God, he'll move him to do something because of it. Because God asks us to do things and demands us that we do things or not do things. And our faith is evidenced or manifest by the fact that we do what God told us to do. You see? And so, we're justified by faith without works, but when we are saved, we'll have works. Amen? And it's an evidence of our faith. So, if a person claims to be saved and they have no works, James says, show me thy faith without thy works. I'll show you my faith by my works. I'll live for Him because I believe in Him. I serve Him because He loved me and gave Himself for me. He's changed my life. He's come into my heart. He directs my path. I want to obey Him and do what He wants me to do. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not yourselves, gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So I'm not saved by works, but I work because I am saved. Mm-hmm. Amen? Because I have faith in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so, what Brother James say here, he says, yea, a man may say there in verse 18, thou hast faith, I have works, show me thy faith, without thy works, I show thee my faith by my works. Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. James wasn't too moved about those that just had a shallow profession. There's a lot of people believe in God, but they have no possession of salvation.
Right.
They don't have Christ residing in their heart by His Holy Spirit. They don't have the love of God shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Ghost. The devils also believe and tremble. If it was only just believing facts about Jesus Christ that saved you, amen, the devils would get saved, but there are no saved devils.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of false professions in the world. There's a lot of people think they're saved, they're not saved.
Right.
Now, I'm not trying to cause anybody to doubt your salvation. You ought to know you're saved.
Right.
You ought to have assurance in your heart you're saved. Amen.
Yeah.
And if you don't have assurance in your heart you're saved, you ought to make sure that you're saved. Amen. By getting along with God somewhere and asking God to give you that assurance.
Right.
So, the manifestation of faith. In Hebrews, back in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Okay, he had a testimony. Enoch had a testimony. He pleased God. He wasn't a man pleaser, he was a God pleaser. Amen. And verse 6 he said, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to save his house, by which he condemned the world, became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. I want you to notice, because Noah believed, he moved with fear.
Right.
Now, if Noah had been like a lot of people in churches nowadays, he had said, God had told him, Noah, prepare, I'm going to send a flood, prepare an ark to save your house. God, I believe that. And just sit around and never do nothing, and he'd have died in the flood like everybody else. But because he did believe God, he trusted it explicitly in what God said, and he knew there's a flood coming. And he knew if he didn't build that ark, his family would be destroyed. So he moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house. And by faith, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to the place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heir with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one. Notice, when she judged him faithful, the one who had promised, she believed exactly what God said, there sprang even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. What is that? Hope. Having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare it plainly that they seek a country. I want you to notice how those saints, those Hall of Fame of faith believers in Hebrews chapter 11, had utter confidence in God. They had so much confidence in God's commands and God's directives that they moved, that they went, that they did what God told them to do. And a lot of them didn't experience all of the promises that God gave them, but they embraced them and they saw them happening afar off. They believed that they would happen. They had a hope. They had blessed hope in their heart that what God had promised would come to pass and will come to pass. I may die before the rapture takes place, but I still believe in the rapture. And I still have that blessed hope in my heart.
Amen.
Amen. Whether I go up to meet the Lord in the air or come back with the Lord, I know it's going to happen. Amen. I've got that hope in my heart. The manifestation of faith. And then the culmination of faith. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet you believe, yet believe it, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, the culmination of faith. We believe in Him. We trust in Him. And we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And one of these days, our faith's going to become sight.
Right.
Amen? The culmination of faith. That was part of that scripture I just read. I was wanting to comment on. Maybe I'll say it here in just a minute. But he talks about the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Do you know the Lord will try your faith? Not to see what it is. He knows what it is. He wants you to see what it is.
Right.
He wants you to see what kind of faith you got, or if you got any faith. Little faith, weak faith, no faith, or strong faith. So He's going to try your faith. When I was, years ago when kids were little, I was trying to explain to Margaret what faith was. And so Margaret would do this, Elizabeth wouldn't. I tried to explain to her using this illustration, it didn't work. But we had a couch, you know, and I'd set Margaret on that couch standing up, put her on the couch, I'd be laying on the floor. I'd say, "Now, Margaret, you believe Daddy will catch you?" "Yeah, Daddy." I said, "Jump." She just jumped. She'd take a big old dive, jump, I'd catch her. I'd put Elizabeth up there and I'd say, "Believe Daddy will catch you?" "Yeah, Daddy." You know, that look, doubtful look. Yeah. I'd say, "Now jump." She'd get over the edge, she'd back up. She'd come out, I'd say, "Come on, jump." She'd come to the edge a little bit. And she wanted to, but she'd back up. You know what the difference was? Margaret trusted me. Elizabeth did. Now, I'm not making a line of Elizabeth, I'm just saying she was always cautious. She'd just step down a step, she would come to the step.
Elizabeth
is just real cautious and careful. Margaret, she just fly off anything, you know. But that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to completely trust Him. It's like Him saying, "Jump into my arms, I'll catch you." You know, if you're standing on Him. Cliff somewhere, and the Lord said, "Jump off, I'll catch you. I won't let you hit the bottom." You know, you just trust Him. Lord don't tell us to jump off cliffs, does He? But He does tell us to trust Him.
Amen.
Trust Him with our soul. Trust Him with our life. To walk with Him. Let Him direct our paths. Amen. When we trust Him, when we completely yield ourselves to Him, then our faith increases. The Lord, it blesses the Lord, and the Lord blesses us for it. If we don't trust Him, if we don't believe Him, then how can our faith increase? How can we have faith? We don't have faith. And we can't please the Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You've got to completely trust Him with your life, everything.
Right.
1 Corinthians 13:12. "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." One of these days, faith will become sight.
Right.
We'll stand in His presence. We won't have to exercise faith no more in Him. We'll see Him as He is. We'll hear Him with our ears. We'll see Him with our eyes. We'll talk with Him with our own mouth. And He'll talk to us.
Amen.
Amen. We won't have to walk by faith in that day.
Right.
Faith becomes sight, the culmination of faith. But it won't take place until we're in His presence. Amen. Until then, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. We'll ask Liz to come to the piano. 162 in the New Testament, living by faith. 162 in the church hymn book tonight. We'll sing a verse or two of this old